We're in the Gratitude Playlist series here. We're on track two of It Is Well With My Soul. And I want to read the verses that bring about this second track. And I want you to focus on verses 54 through 60. One of the things that we have to remember is that anytime the scripture is given, if we do what we need to do, it is for context more than just theme. Amen? But I want to focus on really 54 through 60. Now, when they heard these things, they being the Sanhedrin, they being those that were in the space when Stephen was talking, for the entire seventh chapter. When they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he being Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they, the angry folk, cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Yes, yes, yes. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. "It is well with my soul." It's hard to get up the nerve to say that things are good when everything ain't going well. It's even harder to be nice to folk that are actually hitting you in the mouth. Because, of course, the reaction is, I got to defend myself and knock this fool out. Well, at least that's my reaction. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm in the right place. Safe house, y'all. Safe house. I can't promise you that I am proficient in the art of turning the other cheek. I can promise you that I know about it. I can promise you that I have done it. Yes. And I can almost promise you that on certain occasions, I didn't find the time to do it. As a matter of fact, there's a few people that still know to this day what it looks like to deal with C-Dub. Y'all don't need to know him. To find a place in your life where you are at peace is difficult when you live in a world of confusion. Live in a circumstance of chaos. And yet, we are challenged as believers daily to come to a place where we find some semblance of calm. Don't let anybody mess you up with bad theology. You don't just arrive there because you said, "Lord Jesus, help me." Matter of fact, Jesus himself didn't get to a place of peace probably until after he had cried a lot in a lonely place in a garden. For, you know, we read it, but we never look into it, where Jesus actually talked to God and said, "If you can do anything else, let this cup pass from me." What he was talking about was, if you got another way that you can get salvation into this world, other than me dying on a cross, I will be cool with you taking this from me. See, we don't like seeing Jesus that way because, you know, Christ all powerful and all this and all that. But I like seeing Jesus like this because it lets me know that even at the darkest moments of life, God will still give you enough to get through the points that trouble you. And even Jesus had that troubling moment and said, if you got another way, I'm obliged to let you do it. But just in case you don't, not my will, but yours be done. So it's good to know that we have a Savior who understands about struggle to getting to a place of peace. Why then, Pastor, would you come to this text and talking about contentment and peace? I mean, why in the world would you decide to pick up a scripture that talks about the murder of a man that all he did was speak the truth? Don't worry, sis, it's all good. I sometimes believe Jesus is calling on us. Why in the world would you pick a text that talks about the murder of a faithful person? Because you need to know that real people go through and still find a place where even evil that tries to take us out can't touch us. It's deep. But go with me for a minute. Let me tell you about Stephen. Stephen was a deacon, a servant called to the position of service. And in previous chapter, you know, we learn about him and a few other guys. They get called because they're known for their service, their commitment to God, evidence of the Holy Spirit living in their lives, and so on and so forth. And what we dismiss sometimes is the boldness of Stephen. And when I say boldness, I'm not talking about being bold enough to just do all kind of stuff, signs and wonders, because all those brothers did the signs and wonders and everything like that. But Stephen was bold enough to face an establishment, look it square in the face, and run off history that they could not ignore. He stepped to the Sanhedrin. And you gotta just go with me on that. Sometimes when you read the Bible, you get vivid image. I just get this image of a man not going in timid, but going in bold. He was already accused of disrupting stuff because he was just doing what God said to do. That's why he was there. And they look at him and say, are all these charges brought against you true? Why did they let him talk? Why did they let him talk? He got up there and he said this, and it's in verse 2. Brothers and fathers, hear me. When he started off like that, he was being respectful. And then he started running down history. Talked about Abraham. Talked about Moses. Talked about all the prophets that came. He even got to Jesus. But then by the time he done finished his statement, he said, in essence, this. I know I've been talking for a minute, and I've told you stuff you already know. And I've already told you that we have a history as Jews, that we kill those who decide to tell the truth and do what God says. But since I ain't got nothing left to lose, let me tell you who you are. You stiff-necked, and when you get to that point, it's like, whoa. That's why you got to read your Bible. He got up there and he told history. He told theology. He let them know he was not a novice. He let them know, I know what I know. So you can't deny me. But after he done said all that stuff, he just went for the, he said, listen, you stiff neck, you uncircumcised in heart and ears. And what he said there is, because you know, Jews are known for circumcision as a part of the covenant. So what he was saying was, I don't care if you've cut yourselves naturally, you have not committed your way to God anyhow. You missed it. I want you to get it, because this is going to help some folk. Just because you show up to church, you got the rest. Just because you do a whole bunch of religious stuff doesn't mean you've committed. He got up there and said, I know we are the chosen people of God. That's history. Every believer didn't start as a Gentile. A lot of them started out as what? The Jews. So they're already chosen, but they made a commitment to Jesus. So he came from both sides. I know we're chosen, but even in that state, you couldn't accept what God was doing. Jesus showed up. You couldn't accept what Christ was doing. So you have shown that you're unwilling to commit yourself to the ways of God. He is when, and what else did he say? You always, history has shown it, you always resist. He got up there and just said it. So you know what happened next. You know what the text says, but even if you didn't read this, you know what happened next. Somebody got mad. You know what happens when you tell folk the truth to their face? You talking about me? And what's our response? If the shoe fits. Social media proves that point too. When you put a post out there and you got folk that think it's about them. And you ain't said nothing to them. Well, that bad boy fits. That's how Stephen went. He said, listen, I know deep down what probably is going to happen. But while I'm here, since you're going to accuse me of some stuff, let me go ahead and bring some charges to you. Y'all resist everything that God does. And guess what? I ain't got no other alternative but to what? Tell the truth. And they got mad. And what did they do? They put their hands on them. They threw them out the city. And they what? They stoned them. But watch the beauty of this thing. Stephen, before the rocks came, saw heaven open. And Jesus is in the text, ain't it? Standing. Ain't it what it says? Saw the Son of Man. Now, we always talking about, you know, the Lord sits. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We talk about the Lord sitting at the right hand of God. But we don't always talk about the Lord standing. As to say that I need to watch this, because I see one of my children standing tall for me. So why not stand tall and show my appreciation? And Stephen said, I see the Lord standing.
Come on, say it.
And while he said that, everybody closed their ears, began shouting because they didn't want to hear all that. And they began to beat on them with a bunch of stones. And watch this. Watch this. Watch this. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I'm cool. I'm ready. But then here's the last part, which probably most of those people didn't get, because they were what? Tuning out. Right. Lord, don't hold this against them. Which is what? Similar to another person named Jesus who said at the cross, receive my spirit and what? Do not hold. Don't hold it against. Lord, forgive them for they know not. It's hard to live as you ought when you are facing confusion. But if your relationship with God continues to grow, you learn how to hold on to God even when circumstances are not in your favor. And I'm a living witness that there are times when I have cried and I just didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't know what was going to go on and how God was going to show up. But then God somehow, in the midst of a beatdown, in the midst of life trying to keep me from giving praise and glory, somehow God opens up the heavens and lets me know that he's standing on my behalf. Is there anybody in here that's ever had a moment when you just didn't know what to do and you were trying your best and everything was trying to put you out? But then the Lord opened up the heavens and said, listen, I'm not sitting on you. I just want you to know that I am standing with you and for you, because my promise is still sure that I will never, come on in here, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, and you will make it. I don't know if I'm going to preach it like I got it lined up, but let's just go with it for a minute. There comes a moment when you need God to show up in such a way that all he needs to do is be present. And all you got to do is, as the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So I get to a place of peace or a place of it's well with my soul when three things happen and I'm finished. I'm not going to try to hold this long. One, it becomes well with my soul when I live authentically in truth. You ain't got to change your mind when you know stuff is true. You hear what I'm saying? Here is the climate we live in today. You know that two-word term called fake news? Yeah. Everything got to be fake because it's not going my way. Did you hear me? Don't live in that climate, because just because stuff ain't going your way doesn't mean it ain't true. All right? I ain't trying to bring that man's name up. But if he did do one thing for any of us, he taught us that the only reason you bring up a term like that is because you are hoping that your circumstances being in your favor will alter your reality. So what the people did as they stoned Stephen was they were hoping that by stoning and killing the man, it will stop the truth from being the truth. But baby, you can beat me down if you want to, but I got somebody that will verify that everything about the Lord that I know is true. Listen, I've been busted, disgusted, I've been down, I've been broke, I've been sick, I've been this, I've been that. But guess what? I can tell you, God shall supply because he did it for me. God heals because he did it for me. God delivers because God delivered me. God saves because God saved my life. God changes my world because God changed my world. God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on his truth. And just because you can't take it, doesn't mean it's any less true. Stop walking around here trying to prove to folk that their perception of a thing is true. You walk in truth. Here's some truth too. Now that I'm saved and I love Jesus, doesn't mean I won't have a bad day. Don't let folk mess you up there either. It happens. But the Lord is still standing. When you can't stand, God stands for you. When you can't step up, God steps up for you. When you can't get from up under it, God finds a way to stand there and affirm where you are. Because you won't be there forever. You got to live authentically in truth. Don't be afraid to tell it. Don't be afraid to walk it. Don't be afraid to demonstrate it too. It becomes well with my soul when conjecture or opinion becomes white noise. Yes. Yes. Here's one thing you don't see in the text. Do you see at any point in this last part of the text where Stephen ever listens to what the people are doing? Does it ever say that Stephen heard the people and began to shout louder? In the midst of the beatdown, Stephen speaks. In the midst of rocks being hurled at him, Stephen speaks. And speaks to who? Speaks to the Lord. Yes, he does. As he was thrown out, he looks up and he sees the heavens open. Sees the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen says, "Behold, I see the Lord standing." And then they rush in yelling. But Stephen, being beaten down, kept talking. And said to the Lord, "I'm ready." Now, when he said that, he was going to die, okay? But I'm not suggesting a death motif here. But I am suggesting that God will always give relief in the midst. And Stephen's relief in this moment was to be present with God. Somebody caught it. And to be present with God while you're going through doesn't always end up being the end of your physical life. It means sometimes you just got to navigate through it until God lifts you out. Have you ever heard of the resurrection? Sometimes you need 3 days. I wish I was in the right church. Sometimes you do need 3 days before it all turns around. Sometimes you need to go through the crucifix. Sometimes you need to go through that stuff. Not because God wants you to go through it, because God doesn't want you all beat up. But every now and then, sometimes you just got to go through it. But when you come out on the other side, you're going to come out like you should. Everybody's got to go through it. But if you call on the Lord in the midst of it, you won't even begin to listen to all the stuff that's going on. You won't even take it in, because you'll know it deep down in your heart, God will bring me out. If God brought me out once, God will do it again. If I came out the last time and my bills were still paid on time, God can do it again. If I went through this sickness before and I got up off that bed, God can do it again. If I went through this state where I didn't know if my mind was going to be lost, if God can deliver me once, God can do it again. I ain't listening to folk that all they want to do is keep me bound. I ain't listening to you trying to say you knew me when. Good. Come back and see me now. I I'm grateful that God can take even the most messed up of situations and turn my whole life around. We sing the stuff. We say the stuff. Come on. We say, he picked me up. Did he do it? Lord, turn me around. Did the Lord do it? He placed my feet on solid ground. But did the Lord do it? So if the Lord did it, all you got to do is what? Lord, I'm ready. Whenever you are, I'm ready. Receive. Last thing, I'm finished. I told you, I ain't gonna be long. I'm done on this. It becomes well with your soul when you know you can intercede for the ignorant. Ignorance is not just action, it is lack of knowledge. There are a lot of ignorant people, not in the connotation we always want to, but there are people that are ignorant to things. And it's not always bad. Not always. And in some instances, ignorance is bliss. For instance, if you like bacon and sausage, you should never ask anybody how it's made. I said what I said. Don't ask nobody how it's made. People get turned off after you tell them how it's made.
Come on, vegetarians. Come on.
Once you learn how it's made, you be like, ah! But for me, my ignorance has been bliss. Pray for me. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. But a lot of times ignorance is dangerous. And the danger was you had a mob willing to kill a man over telling truth about history that was known to the people. Do you hear that? We're not talking about something that is not in the lexicon of the people. They know this stuff. But they couldn't take it. Because the way they function now was too profitable for people to be free. So now, they killing a man over telling the truth. They're killing a man to protect their way of life. But that man said, Lord, don't hold that murder charge over him. What? Man, if I'm going down, I ain't praying for nobody. If you gonna kill me, you just gonna have to kill me. That's just where I am. But this man said, in the same manner that Jesus did for those at his execution, I owe it to forgive those who don't know better. You know you finally reached something in a certain place in your life when you can look at folk who were a part of your stoning, figuratively speaking, and feel no malice, feel no anger, but you pray that they finally get what you got. And that's hard. Oh yes, it's hard. And I had a flashback this morning. That's, now I know why God did that to me. There's some folk I ain't thought about in years, you hear me? Like, legit, like, thought about them because of what happened to me. So let me tell you a story. Before I met my wife, I was with somebody for a long period of time. Dated this person when I was in college. Was with them while I was in the beginning of grad school. Was planning on marrying this woman. And one day, She decided to tell me that all of my pursuits were worth nothing because though I had mega church ability, the track I was going on was not the one she wanted. She said that I didn't have what it took to be the head of a household. She never said it to me. She said it to somebody that was loyal to me and who still is loyal to me. So be careful when you think people are loyal to you all of a sudden because you're with somebody, because you'll find out where you really lie when the rubber meets the road. And then she said all this stuff about me behind my back. And then when I confronted her, I said, you know, what's this all about? Actually, I didn't even tell her that. I said, you know, I'm ready to get this thing going. Let's go to premarital counseling. Let's get it set up. And she said, okay. But then she said, don't think that you're going to keep me barefoot and pregnant. And I said, I wasn't talking about none of that. I just wanted to be with you. So then I got off the phone, and God said, now you can leave her alone. Because it all added up. And this morning, she came across my mind, and I felt no anger towards her anymore. Because I remember what I did almost 7 years ago. I prayed for her. And I told her that you need to make me a promise that you never do to another man what you did to me. Because you will never be blessed like you could be if you continue. And I felt something this morning. I said, man, like God put a flash in my face. What happens if you run into her? And God played it out in my head. And it played out so simply. And I was able to walk through an entire family and smile at them because everything God promised me still came to pass. And it was never locked in to her. You got to think about this. Even when you're going through the hardest moment of your life, when you are finally delivered from it, God will show you. You were just dealing with folk that didn't understand your purpose. And even in this, I had to deliver you so you could look back and say, it's all right. When you're going through it, it don't feel all right. But when the Lord brings you out, you feel it and you're like, it's all right. When the Lord delivers you from certain people, circumstances, troubles, trials, look back on it and just say to yourself, look at what God has done. If I stayed in the stuff I was in, I wouldn't have CJ. If I stayed in the stuff I was in, I probably wouldn't be married right now. If I was in the stuff that I was in, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I'd probably be off somewhere losing my mind trying to continue in the same old cycles. If you didn't get out of the stuff that you were in, you wouldn't be in this sanctuary right now. If the Lord didn't pull you out of some stuff, you wouldn't be in here shouting unto God. I can tell you with a clear conscience, you wouldn't be here today ready to say, thank you, Jesus, if you... So as the song says, whatever my life. That has taught me to say, it is well with God.